Politics Live on a Friday, new day, new time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. The reason for this change is you. A bunch of you said that Wednesday evenings were not ideal, so we're just going to try this out. We're going to see how it feels, see how the thumbs do, the thumbs if they're going up, if the subscribers are going up. We'll see what you think. This is Politics Live. I'm Alex Clark. I've been covering pop culture and entertainment news in the conservative movement since 2019. So thumbs up this live if you made it. Subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube or Apple Podcasts if you prefer to listen. Once the live is over, you have the chance to go back and click the live button on the YouTube channel, and then all the videos are posted. Or you can go back to the podcast and you can listen to the audio on the podcast version. So here is our discussion agenda for today, and it is a good one. Queer Eye's progressive facade crumbles as the cast is accused of emotionally abusive and rage-filled atmosphere. I'm going to share the results of my food allergy test, also tell you about the concerning connection between Sophia Richie's father-in-law and sexual abuser Diddy, as well as why I believe Hailey Bieber's dad is asking for prayers for the two of them, and then give my thoughts on famed self-help podcaster Jay Shetty being outed as a total fraud. Fraud alert for Jay Shetty. If you're a fan of his, I don't know. I'm curious how my audience feels about him, but it is pretty juicy. Don't forget that YWLS tickets are on sale now. Spots are extremely limited this year. YWLS2024.com. You can use code Alex for 25% off. A ton of our really big guests from The Spillover are going to be headlining. These are going to be announced soon, and then I'm really anticipating not to have very many tickets available. YWLS2024.com. It's June 7th through 9th in San Antonio, Texas. YWLS2024.com. Code Alex for 25% off. So I want to start the first story. Queer Eye's abusive atmosphere. Exposed. Sources claim that there has been long-standing tension among the group, among the cast, and alleged rage issues with star Jonathan Van Ness, JVN. After 8 long seasons, 10 Queer Eye production members and well-placed sources have told the Rolling Stone that things were anything but a familial or loving vibe. Petty disputes and competition over who is considered the show's top star were increasingly spilling out into the public. Even making the show, I guess, was difficult, according to 4 production sources, because they say that Van Ness's behind-the-scenes behavior was so abhorrent. 3 more sources who worked with the reality star describe him as emotionally abusive and having rage issues, and we'll get into the details. One production person told the Rolling Stone that the cast can be best described as a manufactured boy band with big personalities, and that certain ones were favored and certain ones were not, and that eventually things turned really toxic, as most boy bands do. I mean, you think about what happened with NSYNC, what happened with Backstreet Boys, what happened with One Direction. I mean, it's the tale as old as time. This always happens. This is how one production member described the character of each member, like, so each, you know, personality on the show. I mean, they're playing themselves, but when you're talking about, like, a show like this, even though it's a reality show, you know, what are the characters? Like, if you think about the Kardashians, you have Kourtney Kardashian. She's kind of like the wet blanket, like, always complaining, hates fame, crunchy granola mom. Then you have Khloe Kardashian. She's like the comedic relief, right? Kim is the star. You have Kris being like the mom, the comedic relief, also the momager. Like, so everybody's a character, right? Okay, same with this show. I don't know if any of you watch it. Maybe, maybe not. Burke, they described as the level-headed father figure with a solid design business. Brown, and these are the people on the show, Brown is smooth, wise, can quickly establish a genuine connection with the hero. France is English, chic, quick-witted. Perowski is the quirky foodie heartthrob. And then you have Jonathan Van Ness, who uses they, he, she pronouns, is beloved for their silly quips and joyous over-the-top personality. Now, this producer who described all of them, he said, yeah, my gay friends don't watch this show. It's actually just like straight white women that watch. Shocker. Shocker. Liberal white women. As Queer Eye got bigger, this is the article, Rolling Stone. The quintet, I hate that word, grew increasingly competitive over screen time and who had the best sound bites, production sources say, as each jockeyed to be the show's biggest star. Still, it was clear that hairstylist Van Ness was the breakout personality. That, however, brought another set of issues. Four Queer Eye production sources and three sources who worked with Van Ness said that the reality star was terrible to work with, using words like monster, nightmare, and demeaning to describe him. Three people labeled him as emotionally abusive, as having rage issues, and all seven sources, the article says that the star would lash out at crew members and people who worked closely with him. So wait! I'm shocked. The narcissistic they, he, she on the show was demeaning, abusive, and a nightmare? Rage issues, you say? It's so terrible, so shocking. Who could have predicted? I mean, they must have, this just must have been so shocking coming out of nowhere. How crazy to have no signs, you know, no way of predicting that somebody could be a terrible, selfish human being who likes to make everything all about them and treat everyone else like dirt. I mean, it was, you know, it was certainly not a requirement or anything to control others' language. I mean, because that would have been a giveaway, right? Somebody who says, like, you have to use these words when you talk about me. So, you know, it's just a shame. I mean, it's just a shame that we had absolutely no forewarning. It's just tragic. It's tragic what these people had to go through. Just, you know, I'm sure it came out of nowhere. Maybe for them. Because the truth is, men need to be able to take over women's spaces, dressing rooms, stores, brands. And that is not a red flag. It's not. We have to let people do whatever they want and act however they want. That is inclusivity. There are no signs here to say that Jonathan Van Ness is a vain person. And to say otherwise would be discrimination. Jonathan Van Ness is living his truth, living their truth. And if their truth is to treat everyone around them like crap and berate them, then we need to respect that. We need to respect it. Because that's their truth. And they are just living it, man. The article keeps going. There's a real emotion of fear around him when he gets angry. It's like a cartoon where it oozes out of him. It's intense and scary. During filming, one production source estimated that Van Ness would explode at least once a week. He was a yeller, they said. Van Ness did not reply to multiple requests for comment for this article. Weird. Why not? You're living your truth. You're living your truth, queen. Why wouldn't you provide a comment? It's a stark contrast, this person says, to Van Ness's public personality. It's a stark contrast who he is behind the scenes to his public personality. While there is genuine connection between Van Ness and the other people on the show, this person also describes that the star's public persona was largely a charade. Really? A character that he wears? His public persona was a character that he wears? Shocking. How could that be? Was there any evidence that this is somebody who likes to play a character? Wow. Here's a quote. Jonathan's a person who contains multitudes and who has the capacity to be warm and very charismatic and has the capacity to make you feel really special, that he's paying attention to you. But at least once a day, he would yell at somebody. might be something small, but there's always going to be somebody to point out and blame and make the villain of the day. Wow. Well, that just doesn't make any sense. I was told people like this are totally sane. So, I mean, I don't know. Should we keep going? I don't know. Should we keep going? Vanessa's behavior allegedly contributed to the rift within the Fab Five, with two sources saying that it led to certain members of the group, including Burke, reluctant to shoot scenes with him. The source said there was absolutely tension between everybody else, especially from Jonathan Van Ness. He didn't want to ever share the spotlight with anyone. And there were times when we couldn't even shoot scenes with certain members of the Fab Five together because it got so bad. Now, in honor of the legendary Wendy Williams, clap if you're surprised. Clap in the comments. Clap emojis if you're surprised. Cricket emojis if you're not. Clap if you're surprised, cricket emojis if you're not. Other members could also be difficult at moments, but Van Ness stood out in terms of unprofessionalism. Wow, what a quote. His various moods dictated how the day would go. When he comes on set, everything changes. If he's in a bad mood, working with him is very difficult in any capacity. His two-faced behavior was disappointing, a third production source says. As much as he wants to do good in the world, I think a lot of it is hypocritical. Oh! There's a definite contrast between the principles and the values that Jonathan stands for publicly. Oh! His brand is really centered around having this warmth, love, and care for other people, but that's different than how he treats people who are closest to him across the board. It is the opposite of the person who he is touted and paid to be. Oh! So the moral of the story is that the most outspokenly progressive libs who are obsessed with words like kindness and love are almost always using that as a cover-up for who they really are behind the scenes. I mean, hello, remember Ellen DeGeneres? Yeah, we forgot about her. She fell off. The people who are obsessed with being anti-racist, everything is racist, anti-racist, we must work to be anti-racist, they are the racist. They are always going to be the most racist person. The people who are obsessed with talking about kindness, they're always the meanest people that you've ever met. The people obsessed with talking about gender inequality, they always want to see women given more and men given less, aka not equal. It's a tale as old as time. I hope Sephora drops this clown because I'm sick of seeing a bearded man in lipstick in their windows. Let's hope that that's what we get out of all of this. I don't foresee this show lasting much longer. And it's weird to me and dumb that he has not come out and apologized or whatever, like, you know, to, I'm so sorry I treated everybody horribly or whatever. Like, that, I cannot believe he has not said something. Anyone shocked? Does anybody watch this show at all? I do not like. So one thing about me, the only time I seem to be in the mood for like home shows or design shows or whatever is like when I'm in a doctor's office or I'm waiting to get my oil changed at the car dealership or I am sitting. I don't know, where do you watch this stuff? You know, sitting getting my hair colored, like, and they have this on. I will watch shows, not, I don't ever watch this. Nobody, nowhere I go plays this show, but I'm just saying like HGTV or whatever. I'm not somebody that like turns that kind of stuff on. I don't know. I'm not into that. If it's not crime or some kind of like documentary or something or drama, thriller drama series, like I'm just not interested. But I'm curious for those of you who do like design shows, if you have historically been into this, especially my audience. Yeah, I've never seen an episode. Claiborne, what a cool name. Claiborne says that, I don't know if that's a boy or a girl. I think it's a girl. I've not seen one episode of this show. Anna says she'd have to pay me to watch it. Aaron's never watched. Brandy has never watched. Applecake, never watched it. In a Nightmare says, I watch it with my mom. Now, that's what's interesting, that the producers said, yeah, gay people, LGBT people do not watch the show. They do not like this content. They do not watch this show. It's straight mothers. Like, they said older, like, Southern moms is who likes to watch Queer Eye, which is very funny to me. And also just, like, see, we don't need – this is the thing. If you are gay – That doesn't mean that you, like, so gay people can only watch content of other gay people. Like, no, like human beings want to watch just story, like good stories, right? So this whole idea of like we have to have all of this like LGBT programming, like I am convinced, I do not believe that anyone in that community is seeking out, like, that's the, they click that button on Netflix or whatever, like the LGBT section. I don't think they click that section and watch that exclusively. Like, they're watching the things that everybody is watching. So that's that. It's just that we have to be subjected to all of this annoying content for no reason that I know that they're not even watching. So that's that on that. Okay. Now I've got to tell you about this food allergy test that I took. Make sure you're thumbsing up this video. Subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube if you have not already. This food allergy test is the most ironic and shocking plot twist of my entire life. My entire life. So I'm on this journey, you know, with my health. Basically, I've been like, okay, from January to March now, I'm just getting everything done from a health standpoint that I have been wanting to do or have never done. You know, I got my hormones tested, found out I have an autoimmune disorder. So then it's like, okay, I got to make all these lifestyle changes. I have an eye doctor appointment. I finally have an appointment to go get like my eyebrow microblading looked at to start getting removed. But I'm nervous about that, because here's the thing. I've done a lot of research on the eyebrow microblading removal, which I have to do. And I guess I just need reassurance from you guys. The thing is, I think it's kind of like when you first get your microblading done, like it scabs off and stuff for a little bit. And I have shoots. So are people going to forgive me if I, like, do I need to wear a hat for a few shoots, like podcast shoots? Do I just let my eyebrows flake off into my mouth, like on camera? I mean, what's acceptable? Because it's like I have, you know what I mean? There's never a week where I'm not filming something. So I'm just like at a loss, like there's never going to be a good time to do this. So I don't really know what to do. And I have to get this off my face. It is so jacked. Literally my eyebrow tattoo is above my natural eyebrow. It's just completely whacked out. It's got to go. It has got to go. It's so embarrassing. If I have no makeup on, it's so embarrassing. So I just don't really know what to do because I'm on camera all the time. So it's just like this crappy scenario unless I were to, you know, like take a week off, I guess, you know, from doing anything. I don't know. But one of the things that I got done, or that I just did, was I got a blood test done to test my food allergies. And I've never done this before. I've never gotten a food allergy test in my life. I did an IgG and an IgE test. One says which foods will give me a physical external reaction, like anaphylactic shock, you know, needing an EpiPen type of situation. And then the other one shows what foods are causing inflammation inside of my body. So no outward signs that something's wrong, but inside, unbeknownst to me, it's causing issues. So for the foods that give me like an anaphylactic shock, that I have like a severe, you know, my throat closes up, I get hives and all that, I got zero. I got zero for foods that give me a physical outwards reaction. So I guess if I must find some sort of silver lining or blessing in this situation, that would be one. However, 15 foods came up as internal inflammation markers for me. And this is where my hell begins. If I had a cigarette and I could smoke in here, this is the moment I would take the longest, most dramatic drag of my cigarette. The 15 foods or ingredients that are causing internal inflammation for me are, and be putting in the chat what you're allergic to. The 15 foods causing problems: amaranth, barley, cinnamon, coconut, cod, egg white, egg yolk, so eggs in general, flaxseed, garlic, ginger, cow's milk, peanuts, hemp seed, so weed, sesame, and baker's yeast. I'm going to starve! The most severe ones, the ones that I had the biggest reaction to, were amaranth, peanuts, eggs, and cinnamon. Are you kidding me? I am allergic to cinnamon? Cinnamon rolls? My entire brand for 5 years? I have cinnamon roll wallpaper in my office, okay? God is chuckling. God is chuckling. The irony of this. Out of all of the things I could be allergic to, like, this is shocking. Shocking. So here is what I need to know from those of you who have taken these tests. You've done the food allergy blood test. I thought it was weird that most of these foods that came up were ones that I eat every day. Like, kind of weird, right? The cod, for example. So at first I was like, cod. I mean, I eat a lot of seafood. I eat more seafood than anything, but I don't eat that. Like, I'm not buying cod fillets, okay? So I eat a lot of salmon. I eat a lot of shrimp. I like squid. I like oysters. I love crab, lobster. I mean, all of that. Oh, I love scallops. Clams. Did I say that? I eat wild-caught tuna, wild-caught salmon. Yeah, so it just all of that, but I don't eat cod. So I was like, okay, well, I eat lots of seafood. Don't eat that. Well, guess what? Cod is one of the main ingredients in my Nutrafol hair vitamins. Okay? So I take 4 of those a day. Because I'm on this hair growth journey I've told you about. I'm trying to grow my natural hair and fix breakage and thicken it and all that. Cod is also in my collagen powder from Agent Nature that I put in my iced chai tea latte every morning. Makes my skin fabulous. Helping with hair breakage. My hair breakage is basically non-existent. My hair is in great shape now. I'm just trying to slowly grow it. And you know what else I put in my chai? So I take my Nutrafol vitamins, I put a scoop of Agent Nature Holy Main Collagen, and then I also put 3 little scoops of Armra Colostrum in there. Guess what Armra Colostrum, it says ingredients, milk. Milk was on the list, cow's milk was on the list. Iced chai tea, cinnamon and milk, my favorite drink of all time, cinnamon and milk. Eggs, I mean, in literally everything. I'm looking every single thing I have, egg is in it. And I also like, I don't eat eggs every day, but I certainly do like having, if I go to a restaurant for brunch or whatever, I get eggs. I usually get like steak and eggs. Garlic, are you freaking, this devastated me. If a recipe says to put 2 cloves of garlic in it, I'm putting 15. Can anyone relate to that? If it says 2, 1 clove, I'm putting 15, 20 cloves. Mincing them up. What the heck am I supposed to season food with? Everything is garlic, okay? Everything needs garlic. Now, the amaranth was weird because I didn't even know what that was. So I Google that, it says it's some sort of grain. I'm like, whatever, I don't eat that, so that's good, okay? Guess what? No, there's no free passes for me on this stupid list. I looked closer at the granola that I eat nearly every day with yogurt. It's the brand Purely Elizabeth. It's the only truly clean, like no bad ingredients in it, phenomenally tasting granola that I found. I think it is the best tasting granola I've found. One, it has cinnamon in it. So immediately I thought of the granola. I was like, oh, my granola totally has cinnamon in it. I mean, everything I love has cinnamon in it. Like that is probably my most used ingredient in everything. Okay, so there's that. But the granola had amaranth. That's where I'm eating it. So this is what I don't understand. The baker's yeast, too. Baker's yeast was on my list in any gluten-free goodies, which I do not eat. You know, I don't buy a lot of processed food once in a while, I keep a few things in my pantry. Like, I will keep a box of cookies. And, you know, I do Simple Mills or whatever. Recently, I found some, like, gluten-free ones. So, like, I will keep, like, a box in there for when I get a hankering a couple times a month, usually on my period. I'll keep some chocolate in my fridge, huge chocolate, and I keep like a couple boxes of cookies or crackers or whatever, but it's just, I never eat that stuff. I mean, once in a while, I'll like pack it in my lunch, but I always am careful about like even the brands I choose, but even the clean brands that I choose, no seed oils and all this, has baker's yeast. Like gluten-free pretzels has baker's yeast. So I can't eat those. So I brought them to work today and gave them to my coworkers. I was like, here you go. I probably bought $85, $90 worth of groceries into the office just for free. Here you go. Congrats. Enjoy. So somehow this stuff is getting into my bloodstream and causing inflammation. So everybody's like, okay, that, yeah, you have leaky gut probably. So then what? So I did a gut microbiome test. I pooped in a French fry tray. They give you this like little paper, looks like you get at a fast food restaurant. You put a turd in it. You have to catch your poop in this. And then they give you these little tools like you're a child in a sandbox doing an architecture exhibit at the Children's Museum. And you're supposed to dig through it and collect all this stuff. It was the most excruciatingly disgusting experience I have ever had to do. Thank God you do it one and done. I don't think I can do that again. It was horrific. Horrific. I don't want to be an architecture in my poop. Thanks. But I did it. That's one of the things you got to do. So I did it. And, you know, they're going to tell me if I have leaky gut and all these problems. So likely I do. I mean, most people do. So likely I do. So my question is, for those of you who know more than me, if it says I have leaky gut, and then that's the thing, is like the reason these things are coming up on my chart is that I eat a lot of it, and so it's getting into my bloodstream or whatever and causing problems. I just don't understand it. Like, I don't understand this test and then what I'm supposed to do with this information. Like, so what? I heal leaky gut, which I don't even understand how you do it. I don't understand how you heal leaky gut. And then if I do that, will I ever be able to eat this stuff again? Because I, like, do I ignore these results as long as it is real food, which all of this is real food? As long as, I mean, I'm not smoking weed, but like, as long as if I ignore this list and I'm eating eggs, milk, whatever, for example, like, do I just say screw it and just eat it anyway? Or do I, like, or if I ignore it as somebody with an autoimmune problem, will something happen to me? Like, what happens if I know that these things are causing internal inflammation and I keep eating them? I mean, right now, I can basically only eat meat and a vegetable side, but I can't even use freaking garlic as seasoning. Like, that's all I can eat. Like, there's nothing else. And my question is life worth living without cinnamon? Is life worth living without garlic? And I want your honest opinion on that. Now, in honor of Flashback Friday, I want to take you down memory lane to an OG Poplitics segment where I did the cinnamon challenge. R.I.P. Alex. Tongue was swollen and now I'm allergic, you know? No, I think it's just cinnamon in general is going to do that to anybody. But you know what? I don't know what I did to deserve this, but me being allergic to cinnamon is, okay, moving on. Nobody cares about me. Sophia Richie's father-in-law is giving red flags, and also we have to talk about, it all goes together, it's all part of the same story, we have to talk about why Hailey Bieber's dad is asking for prayers for her and Justin. This is like a huge story recently, and she is very pissed off at her father for this, allegedly like furious that he posted to pray for them. So Sophia Richie's father-in-law giving major red flags. Just a heads up, this section is not for little ears. Okay? So come back to the live later. Fast forward this. If you're listening in the future and, like, you have the ability to pause and fast forward, then I would do that. Otherwise, I would probably leave, and then I would come back later when you don't have little ears around for you to finish listening to what I have to say. Have you read the details about P. Diddy? It has now come out that this guy is essentially the Jeffrey Epstein of the music industry. Maybe worse, to be quite honest. So now just hang out, because this all ties in with Sophia Richie's dad. Do you remember the song Me and You by Cassie? Do you remember Cassie? One of the biggest songs of like 2006. It was my seventh grade bop was Me and You. So in November of last year, she came out and publicly accused Diddy of sex trafficking, sexual harassment, rape, and non-consensual pornography. So in the lawsuit that she filed, she says that she first met Diddy in 2005, Combs, because, you know, Sean Combs is his real name. She first met Combs in 2005 when she was 19 and he was 37. She alleges that Combs controlled nearly every aspect of her life, from her career to having access to her personal medical records. She claims he was frequently violent, physically abusing her multiple times a year, that he often plied her with copious amounts of drugs. The complaint also claims that Combs forced Cassie to have sex with male sex workers in different cities, encounters that she says he watched, masturbated to, and recorded. The singer says she never went to the police because she was afraid that doing so would merely give Mr. Combs another excuse to hurt her. She also alleges that following a dinner in 2018, Combs forced himself into her apartment and raped her, where she repeatedly said no and tried to push him away. She says that she ended the relationship for good afterwards. One day after Cassie files this lawsuit, they settle privately. This comes out, makes headlines for a few hours. He says, nope, I'll pay you what you want. Now, the details about the settlement and how much she got are private. We don't know. But I can imagine it was a lot, because he thought, he's smug, arrogant. And he thought, I'll get ahead of this. I'll just pay her off. This will go away. Not so fast, because since then, four more people have come forward with allegations against Diddy. The juiciest comes from this producer, Lil Rod. And the things that are documented, and he has ample, like, it's like they're saying there's no defense. Like, he has so much video, audio evidence. I mean, he's a producer. He was smart to record everything. There's so much video and audio evidence that it's, you can't deny it. Like Diddy is cooked, basically. And he says Diddy raped boys and men, including him, this adult producer, that he had other men rape him. He has been drugging people for years. It's beyond. He also names, producer Lil Rod names several defendants besides Diddy in this lawsuit. One of them, I don't know, are there any toasters in the chat? Any toasters that listen? One of them is Cuba Gooding Jr., which is interesting because Cuba Gooding Jr. was accused of assault by co-host of The Toast, Claudia Oshry. She accused him years ago. She said on her podcast, she was like, he grabbed my ass in a club. Another person named as a defendant in this lawsuit by this producer is Lucian Grange. Now, who is Lucian Grange? You say, well, that name kind of sounds familiar. He's Elliot Grange's father, Sophia Richie's new father-in-law. And he is the CEO of Universal Music Group. Now, I read the entire lawsuit. The details, I'm telling you, like, if you're like me and you, like, love, like, reading this kind of stuff, the details are freaking nuts. And Lucian's name comes up a lot. Lil Rod claims that Lucia knew about the misconduct happening with Diddy for years, claims that he knew and saw Diddy providing minors with alcohol and date rape drugs, hiring prostitutes, including ones who are underage. And this is the first negative press that is, you know, kind of associated in a roundabout way or related to Sophia Richie Grainge since she's blown up. She just married this guy's son. She is pregnant with his grandchild, right? So I'm wondering, and I'm curious what you think, I'm wondering if this grandchild is going to be seen around this family, how they're handling this privately behind closed doors. You know, is Lucien Grainge denying knowing this? Is he like, this is ridiculous, like I had no idea? Is he owning up to it and saying, like, I regret this so much, I'm so sorry, like, I'm going to be involved now in lawsuits, like, this is a huge mistake? And either way, I mean, will Sophia want her kid around this man? You know? Very juicy. And I think, hopefully, all of this is the beginning of the end with Diddy. Now, this is where we get Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber involved. So, I am 99% sure. First of all, I always predict the future, and I'm always right. So, you know, I never get credit for anything. I mean, if you notice, like, I will bring things up, like, literally 6 months to a year, 2 years sometimes before anyone else in the conservative movement. Then all of a sudden, it's like everybody's talking about it. You know, a lot of that with health and wellness, birth control, whatever. It's fine. It's fine. I'm just, you know, it's just, it is what it is at this point. I've just accepted it. I have to pray about it and, like, ask God to, like, you know, I have a problem with, like, wanting, feeling like I deserve credit for things and not getting it, but it is. But I am 99% sure that on Poplitics Live months ago, I brought up that I think Diddy, it might have been in November when the Cassie story came out, I'm so sure I did, that I thought when Cassie brought up stuff about Diddy, I said, you know what? This is interesting hearing this about Diddy, that he has a secret life behind the scenes. And I said, I bet he sexually abused Usher and Bieber. That he recruited, I wouldn't be surprised, other men to sexually abuse Justin Bieber and Usher. Now, this is complete speculation, but I am just putting the pieces together here. So Usher has admitted publicly multiple times to being invited to wild parties at Diddy's when he was only 13. And we know from producer Lil Rod, who has filed this lawsuit and others here, that Diddy likes underage girls sexually. He's a sexual deviant. He wants to use and abuse anyone of any age, but that includes underage boys as well. Here's a clip of Usher on Howard Stern talking about this.
In you over York to City. Something called Puffy Flavor Camp.
There you go.
To learn
flavor
some
Flavor Camp.
Yeah,
flavor
that's
camp.
What it was called. And you're going to go to Puff Daddy's.
He's going in the 90s. Do you understand what that's like?
Puffy's place was like just filled with chicks and orgying like nonstop, right?
No, not really. Hey, it was curious. I got a chance to see some things.
Yeah, but you were 13. What were you seeing?
I went there to see the lifestyle.
Right.
And I saw it. And it was but I don't know if I could indulge and understand what I was even looking at. It was pretty wild.
So hear that? Like, well, I went there to see the lifestyle and I saw it. There's some things I can't talk about. Usher is the one. If you know anything about Justin Bieber, if we got any believers in the house, Usher is the one who found Justin Bieber and made him famous. And he used to take him to Diddy's for sleepovers. Okay? Justin has talked about it. Diddy has talked about it, that Justin would come over and spend the night. After Justin spent a significant amount of time with Diddy and lots of overnights, their relationship publicly seemed to be strained and very awkward. Very awkward. Justin really distanced himself from Diddy, kind of still stuck with Usher a little bit, but then he didn't really do anything else with Diddy or acknowledge him or talk about him for pretty much any longer after that. Now, I want to bring up this clip. Here is an example of an interaction where Diddy is confronting Justin as a minor about why he doesn't hang out with him anymore. in this clip, Justin Bieber is a child, and I want you to see the tension and how uncomfortable this conversation is.
Everything's good? Selling out arenas and everything? Starting to act different, huh? You ain't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to hang out.
I mean, you try to get in contact with me, you know, through all my, you know, partners and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really got my number, so.
Right, okay.
Number?
Yeah.
So you got famous. Now tell me this is not a absolute, what's the word I'm looking for? Like quintessential, like by the book example of a groomer, okay? Guilting the child. Oh, why don't you hang out with anymore? Oh, you're too famous for me now. You can't hang out. Why is that? Notice Justin stuttering. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I don't have your number. You know, like immediately I sense in that clip fear. I sense fear from Justin. Very strange. I want to play it again. I just want to play it one more time.
Everything's good? Selling out arenas and everything? Starting to act different, huh? You ain't been calling me and hanging out the way we used to hang out.
I mean, you try to get in contact with me, you know, through all my, you know, partners and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really got my number, so.
Right. Okay.
My number?
Yeah.
So I think Elliot Grange's dad is a creep. I think Justin right now, I think what her dad's talking about, I think he is feeling internal turmoil about if he should speak out about the things that may have happened to him as a child star at Diddy's house. And I personally think, and this is just an opinion, this is just speculation, I think that Justin has felt shame over things that have happened to him as a child for a very long time. I think that it's pretty textbook, his behavior over the years, the acting out, the drug issues, the drinking issues, the emotional ups and downs, the toxicity between him and Selena. I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, the fact that his mother is great, Patty is great, but that doesn't mean she's a perfect parent. And who the heck gives your child to grown adult men and says, oh, yeah, grown men, you know, this isn't a child's birthday party or something. This is just like, go to this guy, like, go party with a bunch of grown adult celebrity men and, like, you know, let me know when you're home in a week, like, have fun, and just drops them off for overnights with a bunch of grown men. I mean, duh. So I think, now no one, including me, I just want to stress, knows if any of this happened. I'm just speculating. And I think that Justin refusing to perform with Usher at the halftime show, now remember this? It was very weird. It's like, Justin doesn't want to perform with you. Why not? What, you can't go out there for one. You can't do Somebody to Love real quick, a few, like 30 seconds. You're literally there. I think Justin refusing to perform at the halftime show has to do with all of this coming out. I think Cassie in November starting this lawsuit, I think Justin saw the headlines. I think he knew what was coming. I think he knew it was a matter of time before Diddy was outed. And, you know, when you're a victim like that, when you're a survivor of something, that kind of stuff can put you right back in that space. And so I think all of this has to do with him dealing with this trauma that he's never wanted to talk about. And Dumois, celebrity blind person, pretty much confirmed a couple days ago exactly what I'm saying. Watch this.
This is what I said to every single person who privately messaged me about Justin and Hailey Bieber. I said, Justin Bieber is going through it. That is what it's about. I have maintained from the beginning, it is not about Justin and Hailey. Yes. As a married couple, when one half of that couple's going through something, it affects the other half.
Right. The other person's not like, I'm all good.
Right. Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm going to chill over here while you just suffer.
Right. So mm-hmm. That's why the pastor and the father said pray for them both. It is very, very common, especially in religious type of institutions, mm-hmm. that a pastor, a minister will call for the congregation to give prayers
for the family,
for the couple, yeah. Even if there's one person going through something. This has nothing to do with their marriage. The root of this is Justin's own personal issues. I have not heard of any cheating rumors. I think that these artists, musicians, and actors and actresses that get started really young, I think some of them can escape the trauma, like, luckily, and then I think that really fucked up shit happens to a lot of them.
And I just wonder, I don't know if there's any correlation here. This is totally just like a question mark statement, but like, there's all this information coming out about Diddy, and like, Diddy is obviously connected with Usher. Mm-hmm. Usher discovered yes. Justin. Like, these could be triggers, you know? This time in his life surfacing in the news could be extremely triggering right now.
So let's support them.
So I'm just putting pieces together of the puzzle. And obviously, I really hope that Justin is able to get help. I hope he's, and I hope that if he's feeling the pressure of, like, you know, now you got all these people that have been around Diddy and have been abused by him coming out in this lawsuit, Justin might be feeling pressure on speaking out about what happened to him. And so I hope if anything did happen to him, that he is able to do the right thing, even if it's hard. So I agree with everybody. Be praying for the Biebers. Be praying for Justin. And that's extremely difficult, and I can't imagine. But I also think what a weight it would be off his shoulders to be able to get this out, not harbor any more shame, completely let it go, and move on from it. Move on from it. So the last story that I want to cover today is Jay Shetty being exposed as a complete and total fraud. Oh my gosh, I just was salivating over this. I hate this man. Clap if you love the self-love drama. Sorry, genre. Clap if you love self-love. No, that's wrong, not self-love. Oh my gosh, I keep jacking this up. Clap if you love the self-help genre. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, it's a personal preference. You know, are you into self-help podcasts and books and things like, you like that? You like inspirational, like, conversations or whatever? So clap, and I mean clap emoji in the chat, if you like the self-help genre. Clap in the chat if you listen to Jay Shetty. Anyone a fan of Jay Shetty's podcast? He is host of one of the top 10 most subscribed to podcasts. And it's like, yeah, it's like very inspirational, feel good celebrity interviews, inspirational quotes, and you can do it, and you were made for this, and whatever. So clap if you like self-help, clap if you like Jay Shetty. So Jay Shetty's story is that he is a former Hindu monk, and now he says all this self-help mumbo jumbo. He's, you know, he's just, I'm so spiritual or whatever. So turns out everything this dude says is just a lie or stolen from somebody else. And I am living for this because I will not clap for self-help. I absolutely loathe this genre of content. It is a personal preference. I just have never liked it. Like, inspirational quotes, people like posting that on social media, just like feel good. You're like, oh my gosh, what kind of a miserable person hates feel good content? When I say feel good content, I mean the self-help, like it's just like B-roll footage to some audio of like, what I'm saying, like, you were made for more. Like, that stuff just makes me want to throw up. It's, to me, I call it toxic positivity. Like, it's just very vom-worthy to me. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't feel inspired by that at all. Like, it's just, I've never liked it. I get bored listening to content like this. I've actually tried to listen, like, 2 times to his podcast, like, because there's been celebrities that he's interviewed that I really like, and I was so bored out of my mind, and I just was like, him and Lex Friedman, Jay Shetty and Lex Friedman, I do not, for the life of me, understand the hype. Just so not my jam. So not my jam. It's okay if it's yours, but it's just not mine. And as soon as I, like, tried to look into this Jay Shetty guy, I was like, this guy is a fake. It was always apparently obvious to me. And now let me just say this. Because he's a fraud, because, like, his whole story about being, like, a Hindu monk and all this, you know, some self-help guru is a fraud because everything's plagiarized, it doesn't mean he's a you know, what he did is bad. It doesn't mean that he's, you know, maybe he's, you know, Jonathan Van Ness, it's like, you know he treats people badly and stuff. Nobody's saying that Jay Shetty is mean, that he treats people poorly, but you have to wonder, like, about their character when it comes to friendship. Like, well, he's so nice to me, or he's so funny, or, like, fun to hang out with. Okay, that's fine. But if you find out that your friend or acquaintance, who you genuinely enjoy and like, is lying about so much of his professional career, that he's used the work of other people to succeed and build a bajillion-dollar empire as one of the top podcasters in the world, like, isn't that a little shady? Doesn't that make you question, like, you know, how much would it take for him to be bribed to throw me under the bus, to take me down, you know, to do something to hurt me, to get ahead? Like, these types of people, I would never trust them to be friends with. So it's like, oh, he's so nice, though. Like, I had fun, like, going to a dinner with him or whatever, some podcast convention or something. I don't know. It's just like, because a lot of podcasters are saying that. They're like, well, I've been around him. He seems great. Like, so that's... I'm not saying he's mean or nasty. Both can be true. He can be a pathological liar and a nice person. Do you see what I'm saying? But how nice would he be when the going gets tough and it comes down to his brand or you, the friend? So I don't trust people like this at all. Red flags all around. There's several podcasters that are the top five, top 10 podcasters in the world. I'm sure some names are coming up for you that have been publicly accused of plagiarism. Well, not me, but, you know, maybe someone you know has had ideas stolen or things stolen. But that's another time. If you know, you know. Conservative OGs know. But I'm not going to rehash that story every 5 years. So here's the thing. Perhaps you remember Nicole Arbour. Nicole Arbour had a huge public fight with Candace Owens. She's a YouTuber, you know, content creator. And so some might remember her. She had a really big public fight with Candace Owens. It was super stupid. I mean, like, that kind of stuff I'm not into. But it wasn't long ago. She's a really big YouTube. And in 2019, Jay Shetty removed over 100 posts from YouTube and Instagram after Nicole Arbour exposed the actual sources behind his story, behind his content. Like, everything is a lie. And this is just so shocking. So watch this clip.
We're meant to love people and use things, but today we use people and love things. The way we communicate says it all. We spend more time holding our phones than we hold each other. When you're young, you say, I love you because I need you. When you grow up, you realize, I need you because I love you.
Oh, well, fuck your mother. It's all of them. You literally steal your everything.
Don't let someone be a priority when all you are to them is an option.
Ah! Oh, God, I love it when I'm right. Another one.
Some of us lose the people most important to us because we don't value their time.
That is straight stealing.
Life and time are the best two teachers. Life teaches us to make good use of time, and time teaches us the value of life.
I mean, is that, like, not just so cringe? So anyway, the monk thing also is just, you got to read about this, but the whole thing is a fabrication. I mean, it's just laughable. I always feel like I immediately can meet people like this or see people like this. I've never met him, but I'm just saying, like, people that I come across in life, especially in working in media, I feel like I always can pick up on that kind of stuff. But, you know, since he interviews A-list celebrities like Kendall Jenner, nobody cares. I hate self-help, and I hope this genre dies a slow death. I would not be upset if we never got podcasts like this again. But, you know, it's also weird. I don't think he said anything about any of this, which is also another thing. Like, just people like this, like, oh, you're so into all this, like, self-empowerment and everything. Like, you got to come out and just own it and be like, okay, yep, and then just move on. People respect it, you know? But yeah, I don't think, to my knowledge, he hasn't said anything. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, so the other thing is, today is Friday. And so that means that the new Spillover episode is out. And this week I talked to attachment specialist Adam Lane Smith. The feedback has been phenomenal just in the last, like, 12 hours. Everybody is loving this episode. People have said that they've cried. Would love to know what attachment style you think you are in the Cute Servitus Facebook group, and then why you think you are that attachment style. Like, what happened to you when you were younger, what was the relationship with your parents like? I think it can be really eye-opening and helpful for people to hear those stories. So also let me know in the Cute Servitives Facebook group how you feel about Politics Live being Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern as our new day and time. I love whenever you guys take pictures of you or your baby or your dog watching Politics Live and then you tag me in your stories. Love seeing that, especially babies with hair or pets in clothes. If you have a pet with a shirt on or you have a baby with a huge head of hair, please take a picture and tag me. It's literally my favorite thing. It brings me so much joy. If this live brought you joy today, if you heard anything that was shocking, if you were entertained, are you not entertained? Thumbs up this video, please, and subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube or on podcasts. It's pop culture without the propaganda. I'm Alex Clark, and this is Politics Live.